You're listening to Tech Central's Cars and Gadgets, the podcast that looks at the latest gizmos from smartphones to cars, yes, cars, and everything in between. I'm Duncan McLeod, and I'm here with Nafisa Akabor. Welcome, Nafisa.
Hi, Duncan.
So today we're talking about something very sexy indeed. It's the new Jaguar I-Pace electric car. It's Jag's first electric car, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, that's correct.
And has arrived in South Africa about a year after its global launch event. Before we continue, let's get the pricing out of the way, because this is not a cheap car. This is in the super luxury price range, in fact. How much?
So the entry level is 1.68 million. And
entry level,
yeah. Obviously without your fancy extras.
There are always extras, right?
There's always. But something I have to also note, it does not come with your home charger. That's available separately for 30,000 rand.
Yeah. 30 grand. So the team come and install that in your garage.
Yes. From my understanding, you get hold of this company. They're a third party. They're not only for Jaguar. You can buy it for your BMW or Nissan, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. They come in. They come assess your garage to check whether you have the space or if you're close to an outlet. And then, it's like a whole process before they do assess your garage, basically.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you get an electrician and ask these guys, they could also help you use that battery to power parts of your house, potentially.
Possibly, yeah. Mm.
So at that price point, and I'm not even going to ask you how much the extras, optional extras cost. At that price point, and given this is an all-electric vehicle, who is the target market exactly?
I think similar to the i8 that we spoke about before, same type of customer. You obviously have money. It's not your first car. You like your, you are an early adopter, and you've got the money for that.
This is not as wild-looking as the i8, though.
It's not.
This is for a more conservative business person, perhaps.
Yeah, and more family suited. It's a luxury SUV.
Yeah.
It seats five adults comfortably.
So you can see the CEO of a JSE-listed company driving one.
That seems accurate.
He might have considered a top-end 7 Series previously. Might step it up slightly and get one of these.
Yeah, to be ahead of the curve to drive an electric car.
Yeah. And you've driven it.
I have.
Take us through your first impressions to laying your eyes on it, first of all, to starting it up and driving it off. What was going through your mind as you...
I was very excited leading up to the launch. I have driven Jaguar vehicles before, so I don't want to say I'm biased, but I do like their cars. It's a luxury vehicle. I mean, what's not to like? It looks good, and I was super excited to get into it. And obviously, when I started, I knew it was going to be silent, which is like, I think for a lot of first-time drivers of electric cars, that's going to be an adjustment. Like, it's going to be silent. But once I started it up and got on the roads, it was so smooth and silent, and it felt so comfortable. I loved it.
Yeah. Petrol heads hate these things because...
They do. I don't know why. Okay, maybe I know
they
why.
They love the sound of,
there's none of that. So I liked it because also, it's also very powerful, with these electric cars. You're getting the maximum torque of these vehicles immediately. There's no revving and, building up to anything. You're just immediately on foot, on tap, you're getting all this power. So it can be dangerous because... obviously, it's very powerful, and you don't want to do anything ridiculous in traffic.
That power in an electric car, if you haven't driven one before, is amazing. I've only driven one pure electric car, and that was the BMW i3, which is a funny-looking little car. I didn't expect it to have an enormous amount of power. I'm sure the listeners to this podcast have seen them on the roads. It's a very odd-looking car. It doesn't look like it's going to go very fast, but it does. You hit that accelerator, and that power is instant.
Yeah, and it's also silent, so that's another thing. There's no tweaks inside this Jaguar. I don't know whether you may have read elsewhere that others do it. They don't. It's just so silent. Sometimes it's actually calming, weirdly enough.
I like it.
Yeah, I actually did enjoy it.
Mm. So where did you go and do your test drive?
So we would first of all, we started off at Jaguar Land Rover's new experience center in Lone Hill. So we drove out of Fourways Lone Hill side, and we went on road. And so in this facility, we also drove off road, and we also crossed the Yuxke River, if I'm pronouncing that right.
You are?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this car, Jaguar took us through every scenario you can possibly in South Africa, because you know how we love our vehicles that go on and off-road and any terrain. We basically covered every terrain you can think of.
So is it a four-wheel drive vehicle as well?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Okay. So you drove over the Yuxke River. I take it you didn't do this on a bridge.
No.
You went through it.
Yes, we waded, swam through. But yeah, it was so cool to do. But if I owned this car, I would never take it through the river.
Yeah.
you feel like you're paying so much in this vehicle. I want to keep it on the roads.
I certainly wouldn't drive it through the Yixkay. Have you seen what floats down the Yixkay?
You see? But, yeah.
I hope they gave it a good wash off.
Yeah, no, they took care of that. But even on the off-road side at this facility in Lone Hill, so the car is also capable of driving itself. So if you feel like you're going on terrain, there's certain modes you can go, the rain, ice, and snow type of mode. The car drives itself. It really, really does everything. You don't have to worry about anything, just like the other vehicles.
So how autonomous is it?
I don't think it falls on an autonomous thing. Like, you've got to keep your hand on the wheel, but you've got to steer, sorry, but you're not putting your foot on the accelerator.
Keep you in the lanes and that sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. But you can't tell it to drive you to Sandton.
No. I don't think we're anywhere near that in SA.
No.
The laws wouldn't allow it.
No. But yeah, a lot of modern cars now have these, what are they called? I think they're given different names, but, you know, drive assist or lane assist, where you can take your hands off a steering wheel, although often on these more high-end models, the car will start warning you.
Yeah, every 15 seconds.
Back on the steering wheel. but they can keep in lane and that sort of thing.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, I liked the launch drive. I feel like if anybody tells me they drove this car and they didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't believe them. That's how enjoyable it was for me.
Yeah.
Like, really.
Yeah. So Jaguar is investing a lot of, they have already, in fact, invested quite significantly, 30 million rand, I believe.
Yes.
In EV charging infrastructure ahead of the launch of the I-Pace. How extensive is that charging infrastructure and what can drivers expect of it?
So they partnered with GridCars to do this rollout last year. If we touched on the timeline, I think in March it was announced, and then by April, May, they started getting South Africa ready, and by November, the whole thing was fully functional and ready. So they put out 82 public charging stations.
82.
It includes a split between the AC and DC, and it's all around the country at their dealerships, as well as like shopping centers and major hubs. So in addition to this, there's something called the Jaguar Powerway. It connects you from Johannesburg to Durban and from Durban to Cape Town via the Garden Route. So this will enable you to do long-distance driving without worrying about a flat battery. Like, at very strategic points, they've got these charging stations, like in Harrismith. If you're driving from Johannesburg to Durban, you can stop at Harrismith and do your quick fast charge. And yeah, and then you carry on. You don't have to carry your own charger.
How many cars can connect to one charging station, though?
It's just one.
Okay, so if there's a Jaguar driver in front of you.
Yeah, there's a queue.
So I can just picture it already on the way down to Durban. You've got two Jag I-Pace users. They see each other and they know they both need to get to the charging point first, and there's going to be a race.
Yeah. So yeah, you've got to wait. But I mean, let's be fair though. How many are going to be there at the same time?
True. You never know, because, 16th of December, everyone's going to the beach.
Yeah. But I also want to add, those 82 public charging stations, they're a Type 2 connector, and they work with other electric vehicles in this country. It's basically like your smartphone cable, your USB-C. This is the type of connecting chargers they're using. So that's a good thing about it, because it's paving way for other EVs to come in.
Yeah.
You know?
Except if you're a Jag I-Pace user, you're going to be a little irritated when you arrive in Harrismith and see a Nissan Leaf plugged in.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair point. And it's not like you're going to be like, hey, you need to move, because it's literally a public charging station. Yeah. And whoever gets there first
gets to use it. Yeah. So how long does it take to charge?
So on the quick charge, you can get 80% in 72 minutes. Like, if you're stopping for a quick lunch at Harrismith, a quick lunch, leisure lunch. And on the AC charges, the 22 kilowatt, it takes 2.5 hours. But the home charges that you buy, they're 7.4 kilowatts. They can charge overnight in your garage for like just under 13 hours.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I think they want you to do, to charge it in your garage overnight.
Yeah. Still, 72 minutes to get to 80%. It is limiting you. You're going to have lunch where the charging station is. So that immediately limits you. You can't go and find a nice restaurant a bit off the beaten track where you recharge your car. You're going to have to go to the restaurant that happens to be next to that charging
station. That's right. But I think there is a major hub in Harrismith where you stop for petrol and a whole bunch of restaurants. I think it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know, if I was, I'd like the ability to, I mean, I recently drove back from Durban and I discovered this lovely little restaurant slightly off the beaten track in the mountains, which is a great place to stop over, much better than the junk food you get at the garages.
Yeah.
I'll probably go and, I'll probably drive up there next time I go down or driving back from Durban and have lunch there. But there's no electric charging account.
No, yeah, that kind of thing is still, give us a few years. Hopefully other manufacturers would put these things in other locations.
It's too early to be buying an electric car in South Africa, isn't it?
It is too early. It's obviously targeted to a very niche market.
Yeah. Maybe if you take your other car out when you go for a long distance trip.
Oh, well, yeah, then you can try the fancy restaurants.
Yeah. So you use your iPace to do the commute around Joburg or wherever you happen to live.
That's exactly
work.
How I say it.
And then you take the Porsche out when you go to Cape Town.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, if you're spending 1.6 million, 1.7 million rand on a car, it's not going to be your only car.
No, of course not.
So charging stations around the country. At the dealerships, and you can charge it at home overnight. Can you also plug this thing in just into a wall socket, or do you need the special fancy 30,000 rand charging station?
I think you do need it plugs into the socket your home charger, but you still need to put that connector into the car from that wall box.
But you can plug it into, because I remember when I was testing the BMW i3, I could plug it into a normal
wall socket
using a cable.
Yeah,
can you do that?
Yeah,
you can. The only thing I discovered was I needed an extension cord.
So the people who come to assess your garage, they also factored that in.
Of course, but the point I wanted to make was that the regular size extension cords are not heavy duty enough. So I had to actually go and buy a heavy duty extension cord because of the current that was flowing across the cable is not supported on the bog standard ones you buy at Pick and Pay. You have to get a special thicker extension cord if you want to plug it in.
Yeah.
It was a specific issue that I had because I think the i3 was a little bit too tall to fit in my garage, so I had to run the cable. But that's just as an aside. So these charging points around the country, is it free to recharge at them or do you pay?
It's free to use as a service, but you pay for your own electricity. So when you buy a Jaguar car, you are given a little card. It looks like a bank card. And you require this to start and end your charging session.
All right.
So it's all charged to that. You can top it up and you can link your card. But Jaguar will pay 25% of all its customers' costs. So whatever the cost is, 25% automatically will be deducted. So if you're going there with your Nissan, you're obviously paying full price.
Right.
Yeah.
And how much does it cost? Do you have an indication of how much it would cost to recharge the battery from flat to full?
I don't have it offhand. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
I think it might be in my write-up.
It's certainly going to be cheaper than than petrol.
No, for sure. Mm. You don't have to worry about those petrol costs anymore.
Yeah, which are just going to keep going up and up and up.
And also people love bringing out, what about load shedding? But in the night, overnight, you're not going to be load shed. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Although if you get to the Harry Smith
charging
port and discover there's load shedding.
Okay.
It's very challenging, isn't it?
This
is going to work more in Europe to start with and get here maybe.
Well, they like incentivized to buy electric cars. We're nowhere near that level.
We're not, no.
In fact, it's a big issue here.
Mm. In fact, we're probably going to get penalized for buying electric cars.
We are. It's 25% import duties.
And they're probably going to levy more on us on electric car owners because they're not contributing to the fuel levy.
Yeah. From my understanding, it's regarded as a luxury item like a golf cart, these electric cars. That's why it's so high.
Golf cart.
Yeah. They need to change the laws and stuff.
Yeah, it really... the more we talk about this, the more it seems that, that South Africa is really not ready for this yet.
Yeah.
They're cool to own, though. If you can afford one and you don't mind the limitations, then it's worth it.
But. Yeah. But also, we haven't touched on the range. It's 470 kilometers.
Oh, that's very good.
So you're not really going to have to worry about running out of power in a day.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're commuting around Gauteng.
You could probably go without charges for a whole week if you're just driving to office and back.
Yeah, depends where you're going. That's actually a good point.
Yeah. And that's pretty good. 470, it almost gets you to Durban, but not quite.
Yeah. Mm. And you want to use your air conditioner, which from my drive in Joburg, I realized how much that actually uses. So I got into a fully charged car and we had the aircon on full blast and it showed the range of like 256 kilometers. And I was like, whoa, okay, this doesn't look right. So I immediately turned the aircon from my previous experience because I know how inefficient I drive. We switched it off and it shot up to like 430, 426.
Oh, wow.
So it just shows you, like, obviously don't have the aircon on full blast. But if you live in Johannesburg, you're commuting around Gauteng, you can afford to have your aircon on full blast. You won't run out of any charge in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Interesting stuff. So I guess my final question, Nafisa, is if you had the money, would you buy this or would you consider something else in the price range?
Oh, I'd love to buy it. I'm very keen on electric cars. I feel like my next car could be an electric vehicle and I'll wait however long it takes.
Oh, you're waiting for the electric Mini, aren't you?
I am, because I like small cars. But yeah, I mean, I'm very much into this whole electric cars. I've been following it for a while. I like to see how this is going and I'd eventually like to drive one. And if I did have the money, I'd want to get one. It's so comfortable. I love it. And overtaking people, wow, it's like, it was one of my favorite things on the launch drive.
I think I'd probably lean to a Tesla Model S if I was going to get one. Oh. But those aren't available here.
Yeah, they're not available here yet. So.
So, Nafisa, always good to have you in the studio. If you've missed any of our previous Cars and Gadgets podcasts, you can find them in your favorite podcast app as well as in iTunes. Simply search for Tech Central, one word, and you'll find all of our podcasts, including the Tech Central podcast, Talk Central, Cars and Gadgets, and more. Until next time, from Nafisa Akerbo and myself, Duncan McLeod, cheers.
Bye.